Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in. It's Hail Varsity Radio. We're live here at Longwell's watch party for Nebraska basketball. The Huskers season comes to an end today at the hands of them stinking Badgers, 66-59. And Nebraska hung tough. Glenn Watson carried this team, and Nebraska unable to get over the hump. You go back to many different points in the game where Nebraska had a chance to tie this or take the lead. They finally took the lead thanks to a Thor three ball with about 10:08 left, and then didn't score for about 5 to 7 minutes, it felt like, in game time. Don't want to tell you what the real time was, but plenty of pitchers and beers were being ordered down here at Longwell's. What a watch party. What a lot of fun. So many Nebraska fans down here at Longwell's, and you can celebrate the season that could have been and the fight these guys showed in Chicago. We are down here with Hail Varsity Radio till 6. Can join us and plenty of Nebraska basketball thoughts and some spring football too. 466-3776. 466-3776. 1-800-825-5865. Can email Chris at HailVarsity.com. Can also tweet at Schmidt underscore radio and at Hail Varsity, at Two Birds, One Stone. I have Junior with me. He's the a-hole in green wearing his Michigan State gear, and he's mocking me and taunting me feverishly because that's what type of child I've raised. Okay, Nebraska's season comes to an end. They are 18-16. A good tweet out earlier by a national writer, and I think a lot of it depended on winning today when it comes to bubble talk and Nebraska. Nebraska is at 18-16. Their strength of schedule better than St. John's. Their quad one win, wins better than St. John's. And I'm not going to go that route. Nebraska needed to get to the finals of the Big Ten title game in this tournament to even talk about the NCAA tournament. But what they do have in front of them is an NIT opportunity. Nebraska just had no answer today for Iverson or Reavers. Both those guys really killed Nebraska overall. I know Wisconsin shot well, but Nebraska's defense was stellar. James just didn't have enough. It was too much to ask to get three games of James from an efficiency standpoint. Palmer, 6 of 21 for 15 points. Glenn Watson is the story. Glenn Watson, sweet home Chicago for him as he carried the Big Red today. But Nebraska loses. Hell of a run by Nebraska, and a lot to think about right now as Bill Moose is in Cal right now watching his son's spring game. The conversation will shift here. Maybe it has already shifted for you. A few folks here saying, thanks, Tim, now you're gone. That's the topic of discussion this weekend. That is what is on your mind as a Nebraska basketball fan. And I want these guys to go to the NIT, whether Miles is here or not. I want to see this team play some more ball. What could have been for the Big Red this year, and ended up being in a situation, in a position where they had to win the whole bleeping thing. Ironically enough, last night you had Major League on AMC. So I watched a little bit of that. I watched Jake Taylor's very short statement to fire his team up. I watched Lou Brown strip the clothes off the cutout of the beautiful woman. And man, it's kind of what Nebraska's motto's been, right? Win the whole bleeping thing. You had to, they didn't. And again, a killer with about 4 minutes left here. Nebraska's at the free throw line. It's 57-55, and Glenn has a chance to tie, and they can't do it. and then Wisconsin hits a three. Wisconsin was able to get some hustle points, some extra shot opportunities, and that's how it shook out. That's what the difference was. Nebraska was gassed. Nebraska gave amazing effort. Nebraska shut Ethan Happ down. 7 turnovers, 4 points. They shut Bruno down yesterday. Nebraska's defense came to play. You just needed more of that defense. And you had some lapses here to nitpick where Wisconsin had hit some big shots, hit a 3, hit a 2, and you just wouldn't be in the kitchen, right? I mean, you had Davison hit a big 3, and the hand down, man down, say it with me, Mark Jackson, that was an issue. We're going to step aside, and we'll get caught up with Brandon Vogel. Also coming up, Andy Markowski, Matt Verzel on the way with Hail Varsity down here at Longwell's till 6.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Great to have you back. We're down here at Longwell's Hail Varsity Radio Road Show Friday. As a watch party as Nebraska falls today to Wisconsin 66-59. Someday we'll find a way to beat those guys, right? Another quote from Major League the movie. That was kind of the theme from Coach Miles about having to run the table in Chicago. Glenn Watson was flat out amazing. Ended up 9 for 21, 23 points, but 5 of 14 from three-point line. Hit so many big shots. Had that 8-0 run at the end of the first half to draw with Nebraska within 5, Nebraska within 2, and Nebraska just could not get 2 of those free throws to tie things up. You had a tough night again from Palmer, 6 of 21. Roby was 4 of 11, had 5 first half turnovers. Ethan Happ neutralized, and for Wisconsin it was Iverson and Reavers that went 12 of 19 that did Nebraska in. And from a rebounding standpoint, it was just Wisconsin ended up plus 6. And the offensive glass towards the end of this ball game was the difference. We bring on from HailVarsity.com and magazine, Brandon L. Vogel. Vogues, we'll get to some spring ball, but you've seen a lot of basketball. You love college basketball. You follow Nebraska. What's your take on this run by Nebraska? Did you see it in them? I know there was a nice spark with the win over Iowa, but they really kind of captured the nation and, quite frankly, the city of Chicago, and Nebraska basketball fans have people watching them again. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I did not see it in them. they get that win, you know, they show some life against Iowa, and then you get the Amir Harris injury news right before the tournament, and you're like, oh man, this team just can't catch a break on that front. And then they go to Chicago. You know, that Rutgers game, even without Harris, you're like, okay, Rutgers is Rutgers, and Nebraska is lower seeded. But that one didn't shock me that much. The win against Maryland yesterday really, really shocked me. And It was a good reminder a week out from the NCAA tournament of just how much fun basketball in March can be, because you do get teams like this and you get games like this where it doesn't add up. It shouldn't be this close, but here you are, and you've got a team that knows it's playing for its life, and sometimes that's enough. And it was for Nebraska for 2 days.
You nailed it. I mean, playing for your life, there's no tomorrow. Find any cliche you want. And Nebraska just played at a level they have not played at for a lot of this year. I mean, you look at when you look at them being, like, let's just say 90% locked in, right, that they want to be out there. They're having fun. They're confident. You look at the Creighton game. You look at the Indiana game. You look at what they tried. Michigan, they were locked in. The thing that's so frustrating about this season is obviously the what could have been pre-injury. What they did post-injuries is incredible. It's remarkable. I mean, they need to be commended for it. But it took absolutely, for them to have their back against the wall and have their hand forced to play a couple of walk-ons. That's what's so irritating with this season of what could have been. When it's okay to get beat, they've been at their best. But when they are expected to do some things and give great effort, they missed the boat on a few games. And I think that's where Nebraska fans are torn right now. Some are, some aren't. But just when you have the next conversation that's going to happen, and that's Tim Miles and his future.
Yeah, and that's really the question for any program in any sport, but for Nebraska basketball right now, certainly is how do you smooth out those ups and downs? How do you get a consistent level of performance, and it's got to be high enough that you're meeting your goals. Of course, like a consistently bad performance is going to get you run out of town pretty quickly. And Nebraska has, beyond Miles, you can go to the two coaches before him, consistently bounce back and forth between those where they'll go on a run and look really solid for six or seven games, and then a losing streak will come. And when you look at it really long term, it just all kind of adds up to a net of, well, it's still a Power Five program that hasn't won an NCAA tournament game yet. And that's what it's about. And it's hard to kind of judge, because everyone is drawn to the run that Nebraska made. It's amazing. It's easy to get behind that and sort of change how you felt Tuesday night before Nebraska had even tipped off in Chicago. But I think ultimately you have to look at the big picture and understand that, hey, normalizing this level of performance, getting something that you can count on game in and game out, is really what you're after.
It is, and Nebraska's never really had that. I mean, they had it. They had stability for a number of years with Danny Nee, and then it was always trying to build, get there, fall short. Miles has gotten there. He's gotten to a tournament. He's gotten to an NIT. Nebraska could get to an NIT this year. Let me ask you that right now. Do you think Nebraska gets an NIT bid?
I don't think it's a given. They've got a resume that they were very smart about constructing coming in. So in a tough year in the Big Ten, with the losses and records that they have, I think they're in the discussion. So it wouldn't shock me if they got a bid, but I just don't know if that changes the conversation around Nebraska basketball in terms of trying to determine, hey, what's the future of this program? Not just next year, but mm-hmm. 2-3 years down the road. I still think that's the key question for the Huskers. And It's one without any easy answers. That's why the guys who make those decisions ultimately get paid a lot of money.
Well, and that is the question mark here. Do you make a change? And if you make a change, are you upgrading? Are you getting a known quantity? Or even if it's a name that's out of the blue, is it going to be better? Is the grass going to be greener this time? Because Nebraska's gone through a boatload of coaching changes in football and now in basketball. And Tim's been here for 7 years, and he's been in contention. But he's also, flat out a .500 coach. He is. Now, depends what Nebraska fan you run into as far as the outlook in Nebraska basketball. What can it be? What should it be? And I think 3 out of 5 years you should be NIT or NCAA or in contention. What you can have is the team tapping out. The thing that is so screwy is Miles recruited really high-level talent here for the first time since the Nee era. I mean, fringe NBA guys are guys that are able to play professionally and make a living, guys that are dynamic enough. I just think from a coaching and a development standpoint, that's a roadblock I can't get past, and I won't scream and shout if a change is made. I'd like to know who's on the table. It doesn't look like Dana Altman's on the table anymore because of the extension with Oregon.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, however anyone feels about him, like he's won every spot he's been. He's been the conference coach of the year every spot he's been. And you throw in the Nebraska tie with him, and like I thought he was a good candidate. And you're right, I think he's probably most likely off the table. Some of this discussion is, well, not maybe more than some of it, maybe a lot of it is determined by what's out there for Nebraska, what kind of interest can they command in the position, because Miles did elevate recruiting, and they've got great facilities, and they've got great fan support, which you can always count on in Nebraska. So can that be more with somebody else? I don't know. It's tough. I wouldn't be totally shocked either way if Miles is retained or is not, because I could see arguments for both sides. But in terms of Nebraska's ceiling, you know, I think just making the tournament and then hoping to win a game when you get there is selling the program a little bit short. I don't think it's going to be a fixture in the NCAA tournament at any time soon, but they should have teams every few years that can expect to not just get there, but go there and win a game. And based on facilities and support, that's what's realistic for them in my mind. And they're not there yet. I don't know what the best path forward is for them to get there.
Vogues, I've got about 2 minutes here. Your gut says what? Tim Miles at the podium right now on the Big Ten Network. What do you think happens? I don't know if the relationship's great between Moose and Miles. And if you're Moose, can you have a guy that has maybe tried to undermine you still coaching under you? Does Moose get to make that call with the other administration, the chancellor and the president? Do they like Miles? I mean, there's politics maybe involved here. Your gut says what about Tim here come Monday morning?
Yeah, my gut says I lean towards Nebraska makes a change. Just because while this run that they've been on has been amazing, it's been a ton of fun to watch. It's been rewarding to see. You know, you're looking at a scenario where do you judge this tenure overall based on the last three games, or do you judge it on the 220 that came before it? And I don't think it would be smart to do the last three games. So if I were making the decision, that's how I would look at it. And it wouldn't be fun. It wouldn't be easy. And there are more factors to it than that. You've got to weigh fan support, all of those things. But ultimately, if you just look at the resume as a whole, it's a borderline decision. And you've got a relatively new AD still. In that case, you've got a chance to put your imprint on the program. Yeah. And I would be surprised if Moose didn't do that.
It's Brandon Vogel. Awesome stuff, Vogues. We'll get caught up tomorrow for the weekend edition at Brandon L. Vogel. It's where you follow him on Twitter. Read him with HaleVarsity.com. Vogues, thanks for jumping on. What a ride it's been. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right, that's Brandon Vogel. More from Longwell's.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Back here at Longwell's, Hale Varsity Radio Live postgame show. Nebraska falling. A statement is out. Bill Moose will have a statement here in about 10 minutes or so on the future of Tim Miles. We may have Greg Ethan-Hooks join me here after 5 o'clock. A reminder, Eddie Markowski, Nebraska standout Hall of Famer, is going to be with us at 5:06. Get his take on the situation with Nebraska basketball. And he's been a big-time supporter of Husker hoops for sure. 3 NCAA tournament runs, an NIT title. And you watched him on NET. 466-377-6800. 825-5865. And you can also tweet at Schmidt_radio, at Hale Varsity, at Two Birds, One Stone. And it is a packed house here at Longwell's. And we'll keep you posted from a statement standpoint with Bill Moose on Tim Miles. And the sentiment right now you have on social media and here in Longwell's, so many people proud to be Nebraska basketball fans. And I think that's fair. I think you're proud of this team. I think you're excited with this team, with how they finished the season, the effort they put in. I don't think you're excited with the ups and downs of the Nebraska basketball program. I don't think you're excited about the way this team underachieved when they were the favorites, right? Did they survive? And did they do well as kind of a come-out-of-nowhere team? Yes. Did they do well as a team that returned a bunch of talent and was projected to even reach for that sky being the limit after a successful season? Look at this year versus last. Look at 2014-15 after 2013-2014 when they made the tournament run. Those are all very fair questions. Those are all things Bill Moose is no doubt examining. And it's for sure that Moose will have something to say in 5 to 10 minutes. And you have Tim Miles responding. This from Jacob Padilla here on postseason play. I'll go anywhere. If they take us, we'll go anywhere. Thomas Allen Jr. is the only guy that would have been able to recover to play perhaps tomorrow. So it's going to be Michigan State tomorrow as they will take on Wisconsin. The Huskers falling today. But what do you want as a Nebraska fan right now? Where are you at as a Nebraska basketball fan right now? You come to the games where, I mean, we're a Schmidt interception pass away from the front gates of Pinnacle Bank Arena. Okay? You know the facilities, you know that you've been top 10 in attendance for X number of years to watch teams that have won and watch teams that have lost. Where's your patience level at with Nebraska and Tim Miles? Do you want Tim Miles back as a Nebraska basketball fan? And you've got to weigh things, right? You got to weigh things. You saw how good James Palmer has been the last 2 days. He struggled today. He struggled a lot of the season. He just did. Don't know why, other than fatigue and shot selection, right? But he struggled, and he's a guy that is important, and he's a guy that you don't get if you don't have Tim Miles and probably Kenya Hunter. Petaway and Walt are guys that you don't get if you have Tim Miles and Craig Smith. So you have to ask yourself, is Nebraska basketball going to be better without Tim Miles next year? Do you just repeat this year with next year? Do you extend him another year at the same number? Do you make it a third straight prove-it year for Tim Miles? You don't fire him, but you don't give him the seven-year payday and raise. I don't think you can give him a payday and raise. I think you can extend him. And let's see what he does. And what I mean by extend him beyond 2 years. But you're not going to give him a seven-year, $15 million deal. You're not going to give him what he got to come here. The real question you need to ask yourself, and we need to ask Bill Moose, is do you have somebody that's proven and better? And it isn't about winning the press conference, and it's not about that splash name. Can you be right? Are you going to be right with this decision? You have to be right, okay? You have to be right as an athletic director, and you have to be right for this fan base because they're already showing up. And that could go away. It went away at Devaney Center, right? I mean, things kind of hit its ceiling and purpose with knee. They made the move stupidly, and Barry and Doc just didn't get it done. They didn't even sniff it, right? They went to an NIT each year. Once. And you've got Tim that's been to a tournament and knocked on the door of the tournament last year. And, you know, if they would have held on today, maybe they're on the bubble with the tournament tomorrow if they're in the semis in the Big Ten. They weren't. And they're an 18-win team. Not a 20-win team, not a 22-win team. It'll be interesting to see what Bill Moose says and his decision. again, that the word out of Chicago. The Bill Moose expected to make a decision. Chris Basnett from the Journal Star reporting that. And we'll keep you posted on it here with Hail Varsity. We're down here at Longwell's, a just tremendous watch party. Got a great crowd still here watching hoops, hanging out, having cold ones. Junior had the pulled pork sandwich. He says it was phenomenal. I believe him. He forgot his wallet again, so Dad will pick it up. What do you want as a Nebraska basketball fan? A change to be made at head coach? Or do you want another year of Tim Miles and Nebraska basketball? I struggle with thinking it's going to be better under Miles when it comes to achieving success. Now, what my fear factor is, and this isn't to waffle on anybody, I honestly worry about finding a better coach to come here. I thought Dana Altman's the guy you go after. You ask him how much and say, done. Oregon clearly knows how good he is with the extension. Nate Oates of Buffalo was also given an extension. His annual number is still shy of $1 million. So it's not that Nebraska can't go get Nate Oates or Dana Altman or the guy from South Dakota State or call Craig Smith or get a hold of the Mayor Hoiberg or give Ty Lue a phone call and say the Lakers are going to be a headache this summer when they offer you the job. They can do all of those things. What is likely to happen? Who can you get if you're Bill Moose in Nebraska basketball? What can you pay? What will you pay? And can you make sure it's right? It has to be right if you make a move. And Nebraska fans, I think, could probably put up with another year of Tim Miles. They would stomach it. And the fact that they won three in a row and almost took Wisconsin down has helped that anger and frustration. Because 2 weeks ago, the whole state's pissed off at the basketball team with how they're playing and how poorly they showed against Michigan. Now it's a different feel. You have different emotions. We'll wind down hour one. Andy Markowski's coming up in about 15 minutes. A decision looming by Bill Moose on Tim Miles with Hail Varsity.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
All right, as fate would have it, you go to commercial break. And the statement is out from Bill Moose on Tim Miles. And let us read you the statement here. And maybe you've seen it already on social media. Jacob Bedilla has posted it. We're 10 minutes away from Andy Markowski, Husker Hall of Famer, and standout, the Pride of Ord. We'll get his take on this Nebraska basketball season. Tim Miles and Bill Moose's statement. Here it is from Keith Mann. We will await Sunday's announcement to see if we receive an invitation to participate in the NIT. Once our season is completed, my evaluation of our men's basketball program will draw to a close. So, Bill Moose didn't mandate that you go to the NCAA. Bill Moose wanted to see followed up success. You follow success with success. How do you think, can you look yourself in the mirror as a Nebraska basketball fan and say this year's been a success? The answer's no. They had moments this year where they've been okay. They got off to a great start. And then they completely fell apart pre-Copeland injury. They played their best basketball since December with four guys missing. You got a meniscus, you got an ACL, you got a suspension. What else am I thinking? Oh, you got an ankle, you got a high ankle sprain. That is not maximizing talent. I'm not for anybody losing their job or getting whacked Fredo style. That said, if you can do better, then do better. If Bill Moose is waiting, I don't think he has his guy. I think the guy he wanted just got extended by Oregon. period. We'll have Andy Markowski's thoughts coming up. We're down here at Longwells. Hail Varsity is on the road. Watch party today. Nebraska falling to Wisconsin. And we quickly move on from what an effort and ball game for Nebraska against Wisconsin today to the fate of Tim Miles. And that was addressed here a couple of minutes ago by Bill Moos. His evaluation will be done on men's basketball once the season is done. And right now the season is not done. At 18-16, they could very well receive an NIT bid. Andy Markowski not only won an NIT and went to the NCAAs, he also coached Division I basketball under Dan Dockich. And they went NITing as well. So I want to get Andy's thoughts. We'll have a chance to chat with Matt Verzel coming up. Some thoughts on Nebraska spring football. The Husker football team on spring break right now. That is good stuff. So we'll have it loaded up for you next hour on Hail Varsity Radio. You can join us 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. As Nebraska is done for now, we'll see if they go to the NIT. John tweets in, I would say it's just going to be a non-committal. We'll wait till after the year, right? John called his shot on Twitter before the announcement. So Nebraska right now in a holding pattern. Hour two from Longwells coming up. Andy Markowski on the way.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back to it, hour two. We're down here at Longwells. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Jesse chimes in on Facebook telling me to shut the F up. I'd be singing a different tune if Nebraska would have won today. These fellas made him a fan, and he's a Utes fan and proud of it. I'm a bandwagoner. You shouldn't have been a 13 seed as a team coming back like you were. Fact, plain and simple with Nebraska this year. We'll see where they go to the NIT or if they stay home. Bill Moos will make his decision on Tim Miles after the NIT makes a decision on Nebraska and Tim Miles. We bring in a Hall of Fame Husker, the pride of Ord. We welcome in Andy Markowski at Markowski Andy on Twitter. Andy, thanks for a few minutes. How are you?
Yeah, doing great, Smitty. Thanks for having me.
Hey, appreciate your time. So let's start with the Moos statement that came down about 10 minutes ago. He is going to wait until the season ends, which is good. What's your take on him waiting for an NIT bid to maybe make a final decision? What's your read into that?
Well, I don't think that points in any one direction. I think it's the responsible thing to do as an AD to support your coach and their players until the season is over. I've never believed in mid-season change or the season's hard enough to have your athletic director being disruptive. So I thought it was, good to put a statement out, to end the speculation that's going to exist between now and Sunday when those NIT bids come out. I don't read into that as any one direction.
He needs to figure out what he wants to do. Maybe Bill Moos knows what he wants to do. And I look at Oregon and them extending Dana last night. I look at Buffalo extending Oates. I don't know who or where all Bill Moos maybe has kicked the tires, but I believe he's kicked some tires. What next for Nebraska? I mean, do they just do a mulligan for next year with this year? I mean, what do you do moving forward if you're Bill Moos, Andy?
Well, I do think he's made a decision. I think, we all can live in the moment, but, a good athletic director, I'm getting a lot of static on your phone, so I apologize if you can hear that. But I think good athletic directors know what they're looking for in a head coach. They know if they have that, you know, person that they can build around, that they think they can, you know, take the program to the level that they want to take the basketball program to. And I'm sure Bill has evaluated the program. And if he feels, you know, Tim is that guy, he's going to extend him to 4 years and move forward. If he feels that Tim hasn't, you know, met the expectation level that he expects, you know, there's going to be a change. And at that point, we're going to find out, you know, how much Bill Moose has done in the last month to find a head coach based on the time frame that they announced the new coach.
Eddie Markowski's with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Eddie, we're down here at Longwell's live post-game show, and sorry if it's a little loud for you, and appreciate you putting up with that. I'm interested to get your take on what you saw out of Nebraska, starting with Iowa to Rutgers to now against Wisconsin. Does the run and finish to this season do anything for you as a former player? Does it offset any of the disappointment and underachievement that was real this regular season?
Well, I'm really happy for the seniors. I've been a huge Glenn Watson fan. I kept expecting Glenn to have a good junior year, and he didn't. And then, you know, to come back and have a huge senior year, you know, he didn't. So the fact that they were able to, you know, not wave the flag and compete, I was at the Iowa game. What an awesome win. It wasn't, you know, perfect, but it just showed that a group of guys that played loose, that didn't want the season to end, you know, had a special senior day moment, and then to carry that momentum into the Big Ten tournament, you know, I thought was awesome for them. You know, guys like Johnny Tribble that's been in the program, you know, those are feel good stories. And, you know, I was a student athlete once, and you want to see those kids have success. So, you know, I thought that was awesome. But, you know, even winning two games, they're in the round of eight. You know, it's still, I still expect more from our program. I think the resources that are available, you know, I get tired. I was listening to the Big Ten commentators, Andy Katz, saying that, you know, Nebraska needs to know who it is. And I get that. We've had a disappointing program. We're one of the few, if the only BCS team to never win a NCAA tournament game. But I feel our product to be different now. And, you know, being better than Northwestern, Illinois, and Rutgers and finishing in the top eight of the league, I think our program can give more. So I was happy to see the finish. But obviously this has been a disappointing year for what people expected it to be.
I agree with you. It's been disappointing. The expectation was high. They were hitting those expectations early on, and they started to wane even before you had – four guys out, three with season-ending injuries, or I should say two with season-ending injuries, a suspension, and then a high ankle sprain. I want to focus on a little bit of the positive here for a moment with Tim Miles and what he's been able to do. Is Bill Moose has put his statement out. Bill Moose is going to wait and evaluate the program once he learns whether or not the season's done or not, if they get an NIT bid. So, with all of that said, and you look at Tim Miles, Andy, I'm stuck on if it's going to be better next year or in future years with Tim Miles. Is he going to learn how to win when he's supposed to win versus being the underdog? That's the question mark I have, Andy.
Yeah, and I think Tim has really tried. He's brought some energy. He's a very likable guy. You know, it's rare to see coaches behave like themselves. I mean, he's been a great soundbite. And I'll give Tim credit. They've recruited well enough to win it this week. If you look at the guys they've had in their roster, you know, from Andrew White to Petaway to Palmer, you know, they've had – kids that are in the top half of this league for all conference caliber kids, and for whatever reason they've not been able to retain, you know, some of the other talented players. So I do think Tim's done a lot of good. Unfortunately, has he done enough? And I said it last time I was on your show. When you have 1 year left on your contract, it is a really tough spot for an athletic director. And with a roster that's completely turning over, you look at the guys that contributed in this three-game run here to finish the season, they're all gone. I mean, who are you going to build around next year? You know, how can you justify extending Tim Miles to 4 years when really you don't know what this program is going to look like next year? And I think that is the biggest, spot that Moose is in, is how do you justify extending Tim when there's not a lot coming back? The recruit class is average at best based on rankings. And, I think that is probably going to make Moose's decision a little easier.
Eddie Markowski is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Chris Schmidt, we're down here at Longwells. I think he will make a move when this season is done. And, Eddie, you run into a lot of Nebraska basketball fans. What's the Markowski-o-meter like? I mean, what feedback have you gotten from people? Are they ready for a change? Are they in love with Miles and like the guy and think that better days are ahead? What's the man on the street, the Markowski on the street response? What's the vibe you get from Nebraska fans?
Well, I think everybody has really. How do you not like Tim? I mean, Tim is very endearing. I think his family's represented Lincoln well. I think they've recruited great kids, and you hear that all the time that people like him. But it's one of those things where they wish he would have won more, and they hope that he could win more. But the confidence is not there where they believe that he is ever going to lead this program to an NCAA tournament win. So that's the consensus that I get. There's a few that, are a little nervous that if we were to let him go, we haven't hired, the right guy through this 20-year stretch since Danny has been gone. And I think there's a little doubt that, maybe leave well enough alone. Tim's done an okay job, and let's root for him because he's a good guy. And the fear that if they were to fire him, there's zero confidence that the leadership is going to hire a guy that can take our program to the next level. We have a new AD, so I'll be anxious to see what decision's made. And then from there, what they perceive is a good fit for Nebraska if they do make a change.
Eddie Markowski, a couple more minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Andy, what do you think about Nebraska and the NIT? You are part of an NIT championship. You went to three NCAA tournaments. And you look at this Nebraska team now, you look at the bubble field right now. Do you think Nebraska gets that phone call Sunday to go to the NIT?
I do. I haven't broke down, all the numbers in terms of how many at-large teams there are kind of sitting on the bubble. The NIT is not as easy to make it. They cut it from 40 to 32, and then obviously regular season champions get at-large or automatic bids in the NIT. So there's not a lot of spots. But I've used this analogy before. I mean, there's 350 Division I basketball schools, and less than 100 get to play in the postseason between the NCAA and the NIT. So that's roughly, a third of college basketball teams that can play in the postseason. 70% of Division I football schools go to a bowl game, and everybody thinks that's the greatest season ever. So I've never understood why the NIT is frowned upon. I think it's hard to get to. Teams that are in the NIT are really talented teams, and I think Nebraska has done enough to potentially get an NIT. I think it'll be a road game, which is disappointing based on the last home game was a great atmosphere at Pinnacle Bank. You'd love to send the seniors off with another home game. But anytime you have a chance to make the postseason in Division I men's basketball, it's a good season, not a great season, and I hope they get honored just for the sake of the seniors having one more chance to put on that Nebraska uniform.
Last thought here, Andy. That's one point I want to focus on here is the seniors and some of the development that maybe hasn't happened. What's holding some of these guys back from truly hitting their ceiling? And Glenn finished strong. Glenn did a great job this year, but Glenn had an up and down year. James was a shadow of what he was last year. Pettaway had a tough junior season. I mean, you see where I'm going. Guys haven't gotten better. What's holding Nebraska back developmentally?
Yeah, I don't know if they haven't, gotten better. It's certainly maybe they haven't got to the level of expectations that we've created on the outside. But, you know, Palmer was a third-team all-league guy, which is hard to do. I do think Glenn, never got to the level of shooting that, maybe it was going to allow him to take the next step. But, you look at a guy like Roby, I feel like Roby has developed. You look at a guy like Johnny Trueblood that, obviously he had improved in the program. So I don't slap that label on Tim and his staff that these guys haven't gotten better. I was at one of the first practices when Palmer was a transfer. I mean, James Palmer was not very good. I mean, he had averaged 2 points at Miami. He couldn't shoot it very well. His dribble was really high. So to sit there and say that kid, from the practice I saw 3 years ago, was going to be a third-team all-league kid and average close to 20 a game, I do think he improved. So I'm not one to, Miles has some blemishes of things he didn't get done, but I don't put his kids haven't developed. His problem is his kids haven't stayed in the program. That's the one thing that if Tim gets fired, he's got to ask himself, why he had the amount of turnover he had. And this year, that was really their downfall. Once they got a few players injured, they just didn't have the depth ready to play and contribute to keep them, afloat through some of those injuries. And if you were going to be critical at all, I think it's the transfers versus development is the biggest, why when I look at, Nebraska over the last 8 years.
Andy, about 60 seconds. Why do you think he's had the turnover?
And I wish I knew the answer to that. I mean, kids have changed, right? I mean, transfer is part of college athletics. It goes on everywhere. You look at the transfer portal. But most of the kids that leave are the kids that aren't playing, where they're unhappy with their playing time. It's been the opposite here between, Andrew White to Jordy to Tomorrow to Jacobston. Those kids all played a ton of minutes and contributed, in major roles. So I don't know. Obviously there's a disconnect between the player and the staff and Tim and the player, or the player and his peers and his teammates. Being from afar, I'll never know the answer to that. But when you make $2.5 million like Tim did or does, you're accountable for that. For whatever reason, they transferred, but, they tried to sign a JUCO kid late last year. He transferred before the start of the season. I think they knew that depth was going to be an issue, and they just never really built that depth up to have the year that they needed to have this season.
Andy Markowski, Husker Hall of Famer. Andy, great insight today. Thanks for a few minutes, bud.
All right, Chris, thanks.
Take care. All right, we'll be back with Matt Verzel on the way.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. I love talking about offensive line play, and I love talking to this offensive lineman. Pride of Grand Island, Matt Verzel with us. Mr. Verzel, coach, radio man, how are you, man?
Schmitty, I'm good, buddy. How you been? How you living?
I'm good, man. It's spring ball's a good time of year. And it's a lot of excitement, a lot of reps going in there. And I needed your take, man, because you're locked into it. I want to know where you're at with the offensive line and just – I want the center spot, man, because you played it. You were a center at Nebraska. Talk to me about what Cam Juergens, about what Little Farniok, about what these guys are going through as they try and make the jump. They're going up against some big dudes on the defensive side of the line that's going to make them better, but they're still feeling their way out. What's your projection at center right now for the spring as far as guys making those jumps necessary?
I think the beauty of this, right, and the thing that's fun with the staff that's in there and the guys and knowing Coach Frost, knowing Coach Rude, knowing Coach Hells, haven't had the opportunity to know Coach Austin as much or any of the other coaches, but, the alumni guys, that this is just competition, right? We're going to open it up. you may think you have a spot laid out, and you might show up to spring ball someday and realize your spot isn't that secure. I wouldn't, you know, Cam Jurgens, it's an interesting move. I've called for this move since he got recruited. I thought, all due respect to the coaches in Beatrice, I thought him as a tackle in high school would have been a devastating thing for a lot of people they were playing. He has that build of a Wisniewski. You know, he's a 6'4 guy. He's incredibly strong, and has shown he can put on weight. So I'm excited to see what happens. But a guy I'm not going to count out is Hunter Miller. I mean, Hunter Miller is a kid that, you know, he's got the build. He's got everything they need. You know, I think some of the weight room stuff, you know, he's getting used to. It's a little bit more intense than he's probably was used to in high school, and that takes a couple years sometimes. So, and with Farniak now, I think he's probably running with the twos, the younger Farniak. This thing is just going to be fun to watch. And Smitty, you know, and I know, you've been around Nebraska football a long time. When it's competitive in every phase of that deal, those guys get way, way better. So I'm not going to – right now, I probably don't have one. If we talk in a little bit, but wide-open competition is where we're at. And that's all as a player you want to know. Am I going to get a fair shake? Am I going to get an opportunity? And, you know, Miller's – it's probably Miller's job, in my opinion, to lose right now.
Okay.
But having a guy like Cam Jurgens pressing it is going to make you be better. And it's that's when everybody succeeds, right? If I got somebody continually pushing me, that I have to be better. I can't take a day off. And that's awesome.
That competition's so huge. And you're right, man. It makes it, and you hear the term iron sharpening iron, and that's what it is. And it's what made you guys so great in the 90s was just teeing off against one another, and the guy behind you was teeing off to try and take your spot. What are some of the strengths that you like about Hunter Miller? And let's talk Jurgens with being able to put this weight on and his athleticism when it comes to reach blocks. Don't go too inside baseball on this football for me, but spend a little bit of time so the listeners get, and I get, Miller and Jurgens and their upside as to why you can be excited.
Hunter's gonna have the advantage, right? Because he's played the position, right? He's got snaps at that, he's got reps at that. He was sniffing around winning that job last year. You know, so in theory, if you've bought into the weight room, you've bought into the program, he understands the short space, right? So I've got somebody very near me. He understands short space leverage. Okay, so I can get levered against somebody, and I can put myself in a position to win. The benefits of Jurgens is going to be that quickness. You know, that people will laugh at this one, but you have to be quick to get across a shot put ring. Your feet have to move quickly. And so to have him be able to do that, you know, in a short amount of space, if I'm going to slow this down and say, hey, that they're playing, somebody's got a nose guard on the center, and he's just shaded a little bit to the center's right. Well, it doesn't seem like a big deal for, you know, John football watcher at home or Jane football watcher at home. Be like, we'll just move to the right real fast. Well, that guy's there for a reason. He wants to get upfield quick. So Cam's anticipation and explosiveness will help him get those, you know, I always say you got to get 5 steps in before they get 2. If you get 5 steps in before the defender gets in 2, you can't help but win because you move quicker. So he's got to, you know, pick up those little dirty secrets like, I snap with my right. As soon as my right hand moves backwards, my left hand goes forward, and I give you a little tug on your jersey. Or, you know, I learn how to flip my hips really quick if I get to the play side, right? I've hustled my 5 steps over. I'm on our play side, and I just flip my hips in front of you. So now you got to go through me to get to the ball. Those little tricks in the toolbox and those little tricks of the trade, he'll pick up rapidly. And it will be fun to see that because I think the sky is the limit for him as an interior offensive lineman.
Matt Verzel's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Verz51 is where you follow him on Twitter. Let's talk Hickson real quick at left guard. I know you got Bo Wilson at right guard, and again, nothing is solidified with the competition that's down there. Hymus is reinvented at left tackle, and he's good. And then you got Big Farniok at right tackle. There's discussion by the red and white faithful that maybe think he should be a guard. That's if some things fall into place in recruiting or development. talent. Where are you at with this line? If I tell you, you got Hymus, you got Hickson, you got Juergens or Miller, you got Wilson, and you got Farniok. Does that five sound okay to you?
It's one I can roll with because I could see when you can see confidence build every week, right? I can see guys get more confident in their trade. Their footwork gets better. My good buddy Damon Benning brings this up anytime I talk about it, that if you watch Farniok from game one to game 11, you know, his feet get better, mm-hmm. or game 12, sorry. His footwork got better. His hand placement got better. He's got the height they want at tackle, which are all true things. So I do like what they've got. And then to see, you know, Hymus on the other side, right? He's morphed into that. It looked rough the first year, but I can't fault it because that's a kid out of high school trying to play at a college level. You know, that's going to happen. These guys obviously bought into what Austin does. And, you know, Bo Wilson, Matt Verzal is pro Bo Wilson. it may not be the prettiest thing you're going to see, but you know what? It's going to look like somebody's fighting somebody. And sometimes that's enough to get by. You know, sometimes that's enough to make the game go. He's kind of the energy guy. He gets in there. He's not afraid of a scrap, which I love. And then, you know, outside of some poor high school coaching, you know, Trent Hickson has done a fantastic job. It was something that I told him when he took the opportunity to walk on. I said, all you have to do is prove to them every day you belong there. If that's lifting weights, if that's learning, if that's being on the scout team, whatever that is, you're going to give a max effort at it because I know you will, because that's the kind of kid you are. I said, you know, you may have to scrape with some other offensive lineman just because you're going to get mad because they're being lazy, because that was kind of the culture before this. Well, now he's in there, and he's in the mix, and he's doing well, and he just keeps that in his mind, hopefully, that every day I'm going to compete. Every day I'm not going to give him an excuse to not play me. And that's a fun thing to watch because he is a great kid. I was very fortunate to coach him at Omaha Scott Catholic, and you just knew he had it. Now, I told him, I was honest with him, I said, your feet are a little slow. I said, the jump rope may become your best friend. And, you know, you got to get those little cavies a little going quicker. You know, we got to move them footsies up and down. And I don't know if it's the jump rope, but he's done some things. I can see his footwork quicker. You know, the video that got released from they call it the Nebraska drill now.
Yeah, but we got a capital N, right?
Yep, he did his job. And to see, you know, Farniok hustle out there and Coach Austin hustle out there and everybody celebrating and them being happy, that's a cool thing, right? That's like I want to get in this. It isn't fake and it isn't forced, so it's pretty fun.
You know what? A lot of fun talking with you. Matt Verzal with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Verz, a thought here, your podcast with Jay Foreman. Give folks a shout-out where folks can get a hold of it. And both you guys are great together. Enjoy hearing you.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Yeah, Jay Foreman and I have started a podcast. We're working on the names. So don't bag on us too much. It's just right now it's the Foreman and Verz podcast. But we're on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, TuneIn, SoundCloud, Stitcher. Soon coming to YouTube, so we'll just put that up there because that's the easiest. We're just trying to find the easiest way for people to consume it. Jay and I have a great rapport. We've done a lot of radio together, like traditional radio, and now we've evolved the pod into what, you know, I wanted it to become, was just us catching up with some of the old boys and telling some stories and kind of giving you a little bit behind the curtain, but not that far behind the curtain on what, you know, we were really like. The last episode, we interviewed Jason Peter, and I told a story of how with one of his buddies, we may or may not have ordered 100 crisp meat burritos at Amigos one night after imbibing a little bit. So I think this week up, we're going to release here pretty quick, Tony Ortiz. So Tony Ortiz, the speed demon out of Connecticut, now down in Texas doing some great things. And our first one that we really liked is Matt Haas. So Haas is always a good interview, and he and Jay got after a little bit, but you hear a great story about the Orange Bowl from 1997. So, yep, we're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. It's at Foreman and Verz, and just give her a follow, a listen, smash the likes and reviews and rates, and we take questions out of any of our DMs. So, yeah, if you got any football questions, we'll get to them. We also, you know, try to get out some lists of best trash talkers from decades. So it was pretty fun. We're having a good time with it and just letting it do what it does.
You're awesome at it, man. The 100 crisp meat burritos, the most I ever pulled off was 6. And that's just me. And the ranch was necessary.
Oh, yeah.
So did you guys crush 100? Did you get told to leave? Finish this for me.
We were in the drive-thru. I don't want to ruin the story. We were in the drive-thru, and it started out at just like 50. And then the guy on the hopper, he didn't like that. He's like, sir, we don't do that. And the guy driving the car said, we'd 75. He said, sir, we don't do that. He goes, 100, and we're pulling up to the window. So we got up to the window, and they just started handing out bags of crisp meat burritos. And to our advantage, Jeff Bogard was in the car.
Yeah, that was a big advantage.
That took care of about 35 of them. So the rest of us, you know, I think we had maybe 15, 20 left. But, yeah, it was a good time. And it was, you know, the stories like that are ones we laugh about all the time. It's amazing how we fall back into rhythm of just being a bunch of teenage idiots when we're around each other. So we were laughing and had a good time.
At Verz 51 is where you follow Matt Verzel on Twitter. Verz, we'll do this again, man. Thanks so much for a few minutes.
You bet, Smitty.
That's Verz. Good to hear from him. I love his offensive line thoughts. Good stuff from Andy Markowski as well on Tim Miles, Bill Moose, and the waiting game. Bill Moose will make his call on Tim Miles after we find out about the NIT on Sunday. More from Longwell's. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Well, we gotta be physically tough. We gotta be mentally tough. And we gotta run our stuff because we know the aggressor always wins, right? The aggressor always wins. If we look at everything, we're playing gated defense, we're getting downhill on offense, beat your man, get downhill against the screen and roll stuff. We know what we're gonna do end game right here. Coach has got it defensively, it's good. Win the game with a defensive mindset. We know their personnel, we know what we're doing in the post and on screen and roll, right? And we gotta just relax, let them hang, and get this thing going. All right. Are there any questions on the game plan? All right. Let's get this. Take the knee.
That was Tim Miles pregame in front of the Big Ten cameras as Nebraska falling today. Bill Moose is waiting for Sunday, waiting for what the NIT decides. And of course, Seth Davis is all over him on Twitter. This is Seth Davis. I don't understand Bill Moose's statement. He's saying he wants to see whether Nebraska gets invited to the NIT or the NCAA. Either way, he has handled this horribly. Couldn't even bother going to the Big Ten tournament. Tim Miles and his players deserve better. What you're going to have right now is a slew of national people, the Seth Davises of the world, coming to Tim Miles' defense and piling on Bill Moose. Bill Moose could have pulled a Sean Eichhorst and tweeted out, welcome back or go away. You know, like what we thought was going to happen 2 years ago after the Penn State game. Bill Moose is at least keeping Tim Miles and Nebraska fans up to date on what's going on. Yeah. He's got a decision to make. He's made a decision. The last 3 days in Chicago, as much fun as they were, and as much as you got locked into them, and they were great, doesn't change the fact that the guy's 6-14 in league play this year, pre-tournament. Doesn't change the fact he's had two winning seasons in conference play. Can you go find somebody to do worse than 6-14, I hope not, as an athletic director. Can he find someone to do better in Big Ten play? Yes, there are people out there. Do they want the Nebraska job? I don't know. I really don't know. And to me, Bill Moose does not or can't get his guy. So I think Bill wants to move on. I think if Nebraska doesn't make the NIT, that may make the decision a little bit easier to move on from Tim Miles. If Nebraska is going to get an NIT bid, then they'll keep going with Tim Miles. I think Dane is off the table, clearly, with the extension. I don't know if Craig Smith would follow his mentor and take his mentor's job, but that's who I'd be stopping and seeing right now. on my way back from Cal if I haven't seen him already. It's not that I dislike Tim Miles, and it's not that I don't think Tim Miles can recruit. I do think he can do that. I don't think he's an awful coach. I stand corrected by Andy Markowski about development if James Palmer has become an all-conference player, first or third team, because of Tim Miles and some of the assistants down there. I just don't see Andy nailed it with the fact that guys that were playing left. And Tim Miles needs to reevaluate how he treats his kids. Period. What type of emotional roller coaster is he as the leader? Now, there is unanimous support by the Borcharts and James Palmers and all those folks post-game here. Colton, why don't you jump on here, brother? Put your Bill Moose moose hat on. Where are you at right now? I think, part of me just goes, you need to make a change, but don't make a change for the sake of making a change, right? If you have somebody you think can do better and will do better, go for it. If you don't, then give him another year and let's see how next year goes. Is that too weak? I mean, I think that's the position Nebraska might be in.
Yeah, well, you look at it, and your guy is just got fired by Washington State, by the way, Ernie Kent. So hopefully that's not made a third time.
No,
but I'm just saying,
that's not my
stay
guy.
Stay away.
We've all said no to Ernie.
No, but it's
my guy.
It's the Ernie Kents of the world that you're trying to avoid. If this is the move,
and you kind of have
making.
One right now, don't you?
It's
without two Elite Eights.
It's tough to look at this situation and go, there's a clear-cut answer. I mean, there's a clear-cut way to just start fresh, and it's to let Miles go. But the problem becomes, who's up, who's ready, who can take that position and do better right away? Are you ready to wait a few more years? Are you going to have to wait a few more years?
No, because
Miles?
You've been,
what's the problem? You know,
you've been close to postseason twice, haven't you?
Exactly.
You're right there. You're on the doorstep. Is he gonna get you over the goal line next year? Probably not. Is somebody else? Probably not. So what do you do to the fan base that's got 15,000 and change every night at PBA? I mean, that's the dilemma here. And I mean, Moose has researched it. I just don't think people are wild about taking the job, man. I think that's plain and simple. Great downtown, great university, amazing fan base, phenomenal facilities. You can recruit here. I mean, Miles found a way to do it. Big Ten is murder, absolute murder to try and survive in. But the point of the matter is as great of their run was in Chicago, they put themselves in a 13 seed spot. Pre-injury, they were maybe going to be a 10 seed, Colton.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is you look at the, you know, trajectory of the season, at what point Copeland got hurt, is, you know, where were they sitting and where could they go up from there? Like, yeah, they could have still competed for that, you know, 8-9 region in the middle, but you knew with how good the top half was that you were probably going to end up kind of in the middle of the pack, not because you're a middle of the pack team, but because the Big Ten's just that hard to crack the top seven. I mean, you're not just going to waltz in, you know, especially after Copeland gets hurt, but you're not just going to waltz in and easily take, you know, a top six, top seven spot. So I don't know where they could have gone farther, I guess, but they could have finished better than 13th, obviously, and that's kind of what pigeonholed them in the situation they are. If they have a few more wins and then get one or two here in Chicago, I mean, you're looking at 20-plus.
Yeah, then you're in. I mean, and you're talking about the Maryland's and Minnesota moments and then the no-shows against Michigan. You weren't going to go win at Michigan.
Right.
But you can't go play like you know you're not going to win at Michigan. Sparty was nip and tuck. Wisconsin was nip and tuck. They were really, really close with those. I mean, and they were just good enough. And you saw how well they defended, my man, this weekend. That was absent a lot of the season. They were the worst team in the Big 12 defensively, statistically. And that's about 1-2. And part of that's about fatigue. We have a jam-packed Longwells post-game show. Papa Roach is across the street. That's money. And we're winding down. What a run it's been here at Longwells. Final thoughts on the way.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time here at Longwells, the Hail Varsity Road Show Friday here, post-game show after Nebraska falls to Wisconsin. Tim Miles, still your Nebraska basketball coach, a statement released around, about this time an hour ago by Bill Moose, that he wants to figure out if Nebraska's heading to the NIT, what are the postseason possibilities before he makes a final determination on Nebraska basketball. So we'll know more Sunday from Bill Moose, most likely Monday on Tim Miles' future. You have national media members coming out to support Tim Miles. That's not a shock. Miles is great at developing those relationships. He has those folks in his corner. I like Tim Miles. I think Tim Miles has been incredible for the program with what he's done recruiting-wise and his energy. I think there are better coaches out there to lead this program and get them over the hump. That said, if you can't get one, don't get rid of the one you have, period. If you can't get somebody that's a proven winner that is better than Tim Miles from a Power 5, then you don't make the move. But you don't expend him either and burn money. You're in an interesting spot. Who can Bill Moose get if he thinks a change needs to be made? And it's got to be right, man, because Nebraska's at the doorstep right now with maybe a postseason Sunday and a postseason last year and a tournament run already. I love Barry and I love Doc, good people, but those were some dark, long, long years waiting for Nebraska to get relevant in the NCAA tournament again. It doesn't happen all that often. Here's Andy Katz, his thoughts on Tim Miles.
Look, we've known him for a long time. You guys have done games. You've interviewed him 1,000 times. I'm going to say this. It's not my job to say who should or should not be fired. Okay, we report on these things. That's up to the athletic director, the president of the university. But I will tell you this. In this era of college basketball, when we got guys that are cheating, that aren't, you know, ethical, that don't have the high character, it's going around the country right now. There's going to be more on the FBI trial in the spring. Tim Miles is a high character, high ethical guy who does it right, who, by the way, also recruited well. They had a disappointing season. They did not achieve what they should have. They lost games they should not have. Whether or not he comes back next season, I don't know. We'll find out later. But I do know this. He is a good man who recruited well, who ran a good program, and they just didn't reach the certain level. And at Nebraska, you know what? You are who you are. Nebraska's never been a basketball powerhouse. And I don't know if they ever will. There'll be a program every once in a while that maybe can get in the NCAA tournament. But they're not ever going to be a program that's going to consistently win the Big Ten. So know who you are. Know what you want at your university. And ethics and character certainly have to be at the top of the list.
Pretty strong stuff from Andy Katz. And you had Andy Markowski earlier disagree with the know your role, know who you are, Nebraska basketball. Listen, you've been able to achieve tournament runs before with Danny Nee. You can get there. And just because you're a good guy and you don't cheat doesn't mean you get to keep your job. Tim Miles needs to do better. Let's see if he gets a chance to do better when he's been put on that pedestal of, all right, you got a squad, man. You put the work in to get him here. You got to deliver with that expectation. We'll have more tomorrow morning. Weekend edition of Hail Varsity at 7 a.m. Myself, Mark Cranack, Colton Stone. Enjoy your Friday, and what a run in Chicago for the Big Red. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for coming on down to Longwells.